What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. I am Chris Clem, and this is my Cavs Cast. I'm coming to you live tonight from the Big Easy, New Orleans, with my friends and fellow podcasters, Matt Kane and Steve Guy. Matt, introduce yourself, please.
Hello. This is my second appearance, right, on the Cavs Cast?
At least.
Okay. It's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me. We just finished up wrapping our podcast up on Flicks That Kick. We watched No Holds Barred. So
correct.
If you don't know, I run a podcast called Flicks That Kick, and we review action movies, martial arts movies. So you can head over to flicksthatkick.podbean.com to check that out.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
And also to my left hand side is the man known as the All American Steph Guy.
Yo, what is up, Vanilla Face? Happy to be here, as always. And when I say always, I mean for the second time, just like Matt. Coincidence? I think not.
I would say no coincidence. None.
Yeah.
There's no coincidences in this thing we call life. There's just occurrences that seem to happen more than once. All right, so we are here tonight in New Orleans. Last night, the Cavs faced off against the Philadelphia 76ers in a game that they almost pulled out while being down 30. We actually did not watch that game. I know it's bad for somebody that is hosting a Cavs podcast, but you know, we went to the WWE Hall of Fame last night because we're in New Orleans for WrestleMania, and today we're out doing stuff. We haven't had time to watch it, but I did listen to the last 2 minutes of it, and we did check it the whole time on our phone. But we watched Thursday's game where we're eating our Nashville hot chicken,
spicy.
And the Cavs ended up pulling that one out at the last minute.
Yeah.
So, as we all know, there's only a few more games left for the playoffs. You guys are both Cavs fans. I don't need to stress your bona fides, but Matt watches every single game. He's just on a slight delay.
Yep.
And I assume Steve keeps up with them.
Yeah, I watch as many games as possible. A lot of them. Most of them. Otherwise, I'm checking the Twitter.
Yeah.
Always constantly keeping track of what's going on.
So we're going to keep this simple. You guys know right now, I haven't had an episode in a while, and I feel bad about that. So I just want to talk about the Cavs with some friends for a little bit. Let's keep it casual. Keep it easy. There's no in-depth analysis needed.
Because we're in the Big Easy.
That's a wordplay right there. Keep it easy and sleazy. I should say that. Cheesy, sleazy, you know, get the rhyming dictionary out. Just for people that don't know, the last episode was 57, 2 years ago.
The best episode so far.
That we were on, yeah.
Who's your favorite Cav?
Currently?
Yeah.
LeBron's like the easy pick, obviously.
But is he really your favorite? He's so great.
That's what I mean, yeah.
It's I want him on my team. I don't care about him, but I want him on the Cavs always.
I don't. It's kind of a toss-up. I actually do enjoy Kevin Love. I think because in this day and age, we get to see more of that personality, with Twitter and everything, and press conferences. But then you know, my sleeper picks are Jetty and
Last Jetty.
Just because, big fan of his dad.
Cha cha cha.
And I wanted this dude on the team the entire time, Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah, how can you not love Larry Nance Jr.?
High energy. Just pride, going all out.
The pride of Bath, Ohio.
That's right.
Well, Matt, same question for you. Put that phone down.
Well, this is okay. Well, this is actually four.
He's looking up the Cavs roster.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who is London Peronte?
Yeah.
Peronte?
Yeah.
They just signed Okoro White to a 10-day deal.
What I was gonna say is this: I was gonna do a song, but you guys kind of already killed it.
All right, well, it's a podcast.
I'm
Theater
play,
of the
I'm,
mind. Just do
I'm
it.
I'm gonna play it. Well, you guys have buried my lead, but anyways, this is my new favorite Cav.
You're burying your own lead, brother.
All right, my new favorite Cav is Jetty Osman. Return of the Jetty.
The first Jetty.
But my first. Before Jetty, and before this player has been sucking ass this season, J.R. Smith was my favorite because I just love me some J.R. He doesn't give a shit, does what he wants.
He's
just much like a friend of ours, or used to be. But, yeah, that's right. But Jetty Osman is probably my favorite. I'll tell you, that guy he does everything. He plays within himself. He's working on his jump shot. He's got a lot of athleticism. He runs the floor like a fucking gazelle. Yeah, he's great.
He's part. So his part of why I like Kevin Love so much, and I had to mention him too, is because one, you look at Kevin Love and you watch him, and he doesn't take himself too seriously. With everything, all the negativity that's been thrown and hurled at his way, he's just like, whatever, I'm still fun-loving. But I really enjoy watching him interact with Jetty, and I just think it's hilarious. Like, he treats him like he's a little brother. It's like you see them, like the Cavs account tweeting out, like he's hugging him in the tunnel before they go out and everything.
I have an honorable mention for my favorite Kevin.
Hold that thought. I just want to say last night, Kevin Love, LeBron had an amazing dunk, and he like pretended to fall over.
He's first team all bench. That's for sure. When he like was celebrating,
Kevin Love.
Yeah, in terms of like celebrations.
But yeah, but he does it when he's on the floor.
Yeah, that was.
That was when he was on the floor. Yeah, yeah.
He was set up on the wing, getting ready to like hit a three, or it was wide open for it. But then LeBron dunked, and he just pretended like he was blown away.
Or like last week when he fell down and pretended to swim back on the floor.
Yeah, that was on the bench. That's what I'm...
No.
He was on the floor.
That's what I'm saying. He's doing these things during the game.
Yeah. That's even better.
But he's on the bench a lot of times. He's on the exercise bike, so you can't even necessarily see it.
Somehow became like the NBA Cleveland equivalent of Manny Ramirez.
But my honorable mention goes to Jose Grandpa Calderon, because that guy's like... When you play pickup basketball, he's Mr. Fundamental. He does everything right. He's the guy you hate playing against him, but you love playing with him.
He's the guy that gets picked relatively late, because you see this old
skinny guy. Old, you're like, what the hell?
Like, this guy can't do anything. Yeah. And then he busts your ass, and he's not fast, but he knows how to change his pace so he can still
always
get by.
Always finds the open guy.
He's the actual NBA version of Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
He's the Hispanic Uncle Drew. Uncle Jose.
Yeah, he's great.
Uncle Jose.
And you clearly he, I mean, you can see how the team plays with him on the court as opposed to
I think
without.
Everything.
He's, I mean, he impacts the game. He always plays within himself. I'd be interested to see what his plus minus differential is throughout the whole season, because I guarantee when he's on the floor, it's higher than almost any player except for LeBron. It's got to be.
Yeah, and last year I made a song apologizing to Derek Williams because I thought he was a worthless signing, and he had a really good month that helped the Cavs stay in their position in the East. So I think I'm going to have to make a song about Joey Buckets, Joey C. Buckets.
I think everything that we just said, I know we're going to come off biased because we're from Cleveland, like the area, and we're huge Cavs fans, but all the things that we said are really unbiased things. They're just factual things. These are things that occur. Like, we just gave people a ton of random reasons to enjoy watching the Cleveland Cavaliers play basketball. Like, you talk about other teams in the Warriors. Why do you like them? Because Draymond's such a dick. I'm like, well, that's not why you like somebody. You root for the Cavs because you have old man Jose. You have young Jetty, who's just a blast. Kevin Love not taking himself seriously. Oh, by the way, LeBron James happens to be on this team. J.R. Smith, because he's blazing right before the game starts. And if you really want to throw in like a sentimental thing right now too, how are you not rooting for Kyle Korver with everything he just went through?
Or Larry Nance Jr. Under his dad's shadow. Every game he plays, he looks up and sees his dad's name hanging from the rafters.
Now he gets to wear his dad's number playing for the team.
He grew up a Cavs fan, going to Cavs games all the time, because he grew up in Akron and with his dad as a Cavs legend. He stayed, if you don't know, Larry Nance stayed in Ohio after he was done playing. Yeah. So Larry Nance Jr. grew up in Akron and would go to Cavs games with his dad all the time as a fan. And so it's like the hometown kid dream come true getting to play. And it's not like LeBron, where, you know, he didn't have a dad. Like, Larry Nance Jr. grew up very privileged, so he went to a lot of Cavs games. And even if he didn't, his dad was on the team, he'd just walk right in and they put him in the box.
I got cool Larry Nance stories for you.
Okay.
So my mom used to work at the Cleveland Clinic. She worked in like the sports medicine or the pediatric department, and basically her job was to oversee, like, she was kind of in charge of like, hey doctors, here's what you're allowed to spend, here's what you're not. And they had functions and events or whatever, and she'd help coordinate all this stuff. So she would see even some of these Cavs players when they were retired. She had actually had a great relationship with Austin Carr, so much so that years later when they were filming the Believe Land thing, they filmed some of that at the apartment building I was working at the time. I set them up for to come there. Austin Carr was there. I said, hey, this is my name, blah, blah, blah. My mom was this person. Oh, man, I haven't seen her in, what, probably about 15, 20 years since she worked there. She was so nice. I love her. She gave me a Notre Dame umbrella one time for my golf bag. I was like, yeah, she did. That's awesome. But then
I love Larry my Nance
used to get us tickets to the Cavs games.
Nice.
And every once in a while, we'd go to these Cavs games, and we'd be like five rows behind the commentator desk. And we're sitting there, and it was always the third quarter, and I'd just be sitting there and getting watched starting the second half, and then here comes this tall guy, and he just sit next to me, and I'd watch the third quarter with Larry Nance. It was awesome. He's just like, nice. How you doing, young man? I'm like, oh, I'm good, Mr. Nance. Thanks for tickets.
Everybody in Akron area has a Larry Nance.
I was going to say, my mom got me his autograph when he came into our salon. My brother used to play pickup basketball with him because he liked having him play because they wouldn't bother them and ask them questions, him and his friends. And he's told me that Larry Nance's daughter is way better than Larry Nance Jr.
That's what I heard, too, yeah.
But obviously she's not 6'10 with hops out the gym.
Yeah.
Man, can that kid leap.
Yeah.
It's insane. I don't remember. Well, I mean, his dad won the dunk contest. And I guess I remember old Larry Nance more than
anything.
He was
still, I mean, he was the Cavs shot blocker. It was not Brad Doherty.
Yeah.
It was Larry Nance was their rim protector.
Yeah. He was, I just don't remember him being able to jump like that. Maybe it's just because I was so young.
Well, like,
I just don't remember it as well.
It was yesterday, I think, maybe it was Thursday, where Larry Nance Jr. had this ridiculous miss. It was a miss layup, but it would have never even been anything if he wasn't able to jump so high that he basically jumped over somebody and landed in the wrong spot and tried to like get it up. But it was still very impressive to watch, and I'm rooting for him because obviously it's really cool to have Larry Nance Jr. on the Cavs.
Yeah, there are so many human interest pieces.
Yeah. See, we can keep going to see if it's who we think it is. It is?
I don't think so.
I'll check.
I think that's Ardor.
I think that's Tim.
Yeah. There are so many human interest pieces, you know? So, like, if I'm ESPN or TNT and I'm getting ready to cover this team, you can go anywhere. I mean, tragically, you can sit there and talk about how is Kyle Korver reacting to his younger brother suddenly passing away, which is a terrible, tragic thing, but it's another element, and people root for something like that. Look no further than Isaiah Thomas last year.
I wasn't, as everybody who listens to this show and has for a while, I was not rooting for Isaiah Thomas. I felt horrible about his sister and everything, but I was not rooting for Isaiah Thomas, and I never would be, never will be.
Yeah, I mean, so, like I said, you go there. And there we go.
Get on mic, brother.
Welcome to the party, Tim Oster.
All right, now this is a real treat. If you ever listened to my old podcast, The Pretty Swell Guys, this dude was on all the time. A lot of times he wasn't even talking. He'd just be sitting there in the background listening to our episodes. But he was there. So, and he hates that name. I'm not going to call him that. But Kirk Robinson used to call him Silent Tim. He doesn't like it, so we're not going to say that. But he is on the show. Our good friend Tim, what's up?
What's going on?
He's got a new name anyway.
Oh, yeah?
He's Tesla Tim now.
Tesla Tim, that's true, yeah. Which he's wearing his hat right now. Yeah. This guy's got... He's got to pick the mic up close to your mouth. Got to
represent Elon and his vision.
Yeah, because yesterday I made fun of him because he had a Boring Company hat, and I said, do you have to wear something that represents Elon Musk every day?
That's required.
So, Tim, I already asked Matt and Steve. We were just talking now about Larry Nance and Kyle Korver and rooting for people go through tough situations like Isaiah Thomas the Lesser. I know, who's your favorite Cavs player?
I'd have to say Kevin Love.
Kevin Love, yeah. Over LeBron? Didn't he used to be into LeBron?
I used to be a big LeBron fan. I was a little pissed off he left.
I got you.
But I obviously I'm happy he's back because the team's turned around since he came back. So.
I didn't say mine, but right now it would be Kevin Love. So I guess that's three of us that pick Kevin Love, and Matt picked Jetty Osman. So I feel like we're feeding into racial stereotypes or something here.
I like him too because his last name starts with OS.
Yeah, he's an O man like you. O-star, Osman, yeah. O-star, not Oster. You come over here and you share it, Mike.
I really wish Sergei Karasev would have been like a big thing, because Tim looks exactly like him. You guys are doppelgangers. I remember when he got drafted, and I was watching the NBA draft, and it was a Cavs pick. I just happened to glance at the TV. I'm like, what the fuck? They just drafted Tim Oster? Because it literally looked exactly like you. So I sent you that picture, and you guys are doppelgangers. You have way better teeth than he does, though, just to let you know. But
and at my DVD taping, Tim showed up wearing a Sergei Karasev jersey, and I took a picture, and I ducked so it looked like he was a few inches taller than me, and I posted it, and a lot of people thought I was actually Sergei Karasev came to the show.
What if you saw a picture of Sergei Karasev and he had this ridiculous goatee right now?
It could only help his game, because he would look so much more intimidating. Yeah, he's hurt.
Nets.
Yeah, he hasn't played. But they got Joe Harris, so they're picking up all the Cavs' former three-point shooting white boys.
Nice. Joe Harris lit it up like a week or two ago against the Cavs. Yeah. 20 points in the first half.
Have you been watching any Cavs games?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I have the
league
privilege
pass?
Of watching them at work. We have league pass.
Nice.
Work, so,
oh, nice.
I'm actually working, though. I'm not watching the games. I'm working intently.
I got you. I've had multiple jobs where I was able to watch TV, and I'm always working intently, including when I'm working. I used to work in Northfield Park, and I would watch the Indians game, and I would only have to work when the races start, when I was timing the races. So I'd be sitting in the booth, and they'd play the horn to get everybody ready, and I had to hit the thing as soon as the gate dropped, and I had to go gunk as soon as the first horse went through, and then the rest automatically generated. And besides that, I got to sit there for an hour and watch the Indians play.
Nice.
So we're talking now about the Cavs playoffs. Matt, you come closer, get out on the mic. Where the playoffs are next week, basically. The Cavs are looking like they might end up as the 4 seed. Are you guys expecting anything from them this playoffs? Are you expecting them to go to the finals? You expect them to lose? I know I'm leaning in. So are you expecting anything to happen? What are your expectations with this Cavs team? Because I think ever since they won the championship, I know my personal opinion is I'm pretty much cool with whatever happens, because I got a championship I never thought I'd see. So if they never get another one, it's fine. I'll start with Matt.
Well, I mean, I agree that, like, yeah, we got to see a championship in our lifetime, but I remember telling you after we got one, I was like, oh, man, this feels so good. I want another. You know, I still feel like, objectively, the Cavs have the – and I think when it comes to basketball, specifically NBA, whoever's the most talented usually wins. And I feel like, objectively, the Cavs have the most talent in the Eastern Conference.
I would agree with that.
In the NBA, no. I think Houston – and Golden State are more talented. But with that being said, you know, I feel like Toronto's overrated. They've always
For sure.
been. They're having a great year, but they're like the Atlanta Hawks from a couple seasons ago.
Made that case
Boston,
all year.
Boston's banged up.
They're done.
Philadelphia's good, but they're not proven. I mean, it's the Cavs. It's still, even if they were the eighth seed, as long as the Cavs get into the playoffs, they're going to win the East.
Philadelphia is going to be real tough, but
yeah, because they match up well with the Cavs. But
no team that's this young has ever been able to just in their first time in the playoffs go and run through it.
If you remember last time we were on, and we talked about this very question, and the Cavs, you know, they had an up and down season going into the playoffs, and I said I still had the faith, and I feel like they were going to win the whole thing. And what happened?
They won the whole thing.
Thank you. You know,
that's very cocky.
I have a different persona on this podcast.
Gotcha. Down here, yes. Kicks.
But anyways, so I feel like, yeah, for sure, NBA Finals. You know, I got to be also realistic, because both Houston and Golden State are just juggernauts. So I feel like Cavs will go to the NBA Finals. Will they win it? It's doubtful. But I was also doubtful, you know, going after, you know, it was 3-1 in that series, right? So, who knows? Who knows? As long as they get there, you know, and here's the thing. They have the best player. They have the best player that's ever picked up a basketball. So, as long as you...
People who overrate the 90s are going to be very upset.
Good for them.
That.
Scottie Pippen. Yeah, whatever. But anyways, you know, they have the best player. They have the most talent in the Eastern Conference. They as long as they make it, there's always a chance.
And on a side note, here's a controversial take that some people think is a hot take, but I think is a very lukewarm take. The best player currently at any time in a given sport, it's pretty much always the best player ever, because every sport only gets harder and the players more talented. If you went on a straight comparison, whoever the best player was in the 70s would be completely outclassed by the best player in the 80s, and so on and so on. And I get the argument with greatest of all time has to do more with accolades and how they played against their competition. But at any given moment, the guy who's the best player in basketball is the best player who's ever played basketball. That's just the way time in the human body works. Anyways, Tim, I'd like to hear from you now.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with Matt. I've been saying it. My colleague at work is a big Celtics fan, and
I feel bad always, for him.
He's always talking about the Celtics. I'm like, dude, the Celtics. I feel like a little empathy for him because I'm like, dude, the Celtics aren't gonna do anything for a while. That's just the way I feel because
not this year for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I'm bitter because of Kyrie, the way he dissed Cleveland. And
oh, yeah. The
he was like, I want to get out of Cleveland. But
the stance of this show is fuck Kyrie. not even for like wanting to leave. That's fine. But for the way he shit on the entire city of Cleveland and the fan base. So.
But, yeah, I think, like Matt said, if the Cavs make it, even with LeBron and a bunch of scrubs, they have a chance to make it. I mean, LeBron's really good, even though I'm – pissed he left and came back. We wouldn't have won a championship without him. And I mean, he turned the team around. They sucked when Kyrie was their star.
We saw that.
We saw him play in Toronto.
Okay, me and Tim went to Toronto watch him play. The Cavs were not very good, and the Raptors were all right, but not very good at the time either. And they were just outclassed. And Kyrie hit a three to win the game. From almost half court, it was like 10 feet behind the three-point line. It was awesome and super exciting, but that was like the highlight of the entire season. And when I know he was younger, but when he was the main guy, they were very, very bad.
Yeah, yeah, and that's another positive about LeBron. He'll attract, even though Kyrie was traded, he'll attract other players. I mean, why'd Love sign with the, you know?
Yeah, he agreed to be traded and signed an extension. Yeah.
So.
He did sign the extension because LeBron talked to him and said stay.
Yeah, I mean, they got, you know, Korver can light it up. They got JR. I think they're going to be good in the playoffs. I think they have a good amount of experience, too. You know, that's going to help a lot. And anytime you got LeBron, you know, he can kind of carry a team.
It's like the cheat code.
I mean, they made it. Like, how long was it after he entered the NBA? They made it. And played the Spurs, and they had
four seasons.
Scrubs. I think you said that previously on your podcast.
Well, yeah, it was. They had one guy on their team besides him who would even start for another team in the NBA in Ilgauskas. Maybe Drew Gooden would start for some teams, but only one guy who would start for another good team would be Z. Yeah. Everybody else would only start on a team that wouldn't be in the playoffs, and that's their starters, not just their whole rotation. And they made it to the finals. So, yeah, 100% that's the case.
Yep. That's my fresh take.
Not a regular Skip Bayless over here. And, you know, that's the other thing I want to say before I get to Steve. You brought up a really good point. The Cavs have a track record, and they've done it. And one thing that's interesting about the Cavs, with all the injuries they've had, they are the only team in the NBA who theoretically could be better in 2 months than they are now. Every other team can only be worse than they are now. The Cavs could actually be substantially better. Just look at how much better they've played since Love came back to injury. I mean, they kind of played bad the last two nights, even though they won one of them. But they're 8-2 at this point since he's come back. Everybody's numbers are up across the board. George Hill's been out, which has really hurt their defense, which kind of shows how much he helps on guarding point guards. But they get him back. Love all these guys playing chemistry. Hopefully Ty Lue stops trying to play Tristan Thompson and lets Larry Nance Jr. get minutes, because right now him, LeBron, the lineup with him, LeBron, and Love is like plus 90 in the minutes they've played, which is astronomical. So they could be better in June. Steve, your thoughts.
All right. Last time I was on here, because we were in the shadow of WrestleMania, you know, gave a different kind of take. One of my friends joined.
Yeah. Your good buddy, Terry HH.
Yep. Gave his take. You know, I want to kind of go along those lines, but, you know, apologies to you because this one won't be as good as you could probably do it, but it just, the metaphor speaks to me.
Gotcha.
You know, so.
Yeah, so here we are in the shadow of WrestleMania. Yeah, yeah, WrestleMania, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are in the playoffs again, making their way maybe to the NBA Finals. Yeah. What's gonna happen? Wrestlers like WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 3. Hulk Hogan body slams Andre the Giant in front of the Silver Dome. 93,000. Yeah. But the Cleveland Cavaliers are just like Macho Man Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat. You know what I mean? Nobody expected it, and then they stole the show. Nobody's looking for them, but everybody knows the Macho Man was more talented than Hulk Hogan ever was. Yeah, so Macho Man stole the show at WrestleMania 3, brother. And then that's just what LeBron James is going to do. They're like Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat. Nobody knows it, but they're going to go to the NBA Finals. And when it's all done, that's what they're going to talk about. Because just like a cup of coffee, a cup of coffee, the cream always rises to the top. Cleveland Cavaliers.
93,000 people. Pontiac, Michigan, Silver Dome. Greatest feeling all time I have. Brian Blair, you know.
I seen the Cavs play against those little tiny prehistoric birds known as the Raptors. Kyle Lowry spent his time going to Villanova. Villanova, he should learn how to shoot a jump shot. And then you got DeMar DeRozan. The guy's got two names with double D's. When I hear the word double D's, I think of boobs. And then you got Juanis Valenzuelas. You got your president trying to build a wall to Mexico. He should be keeping out the Lithuanians.
Were the other two starters on the right? Oh,
Serge Ibaka. He sounds like a character from Street Fighter 2. Serge Ibaka.
Serge is an energy drink. It's a soda.
I remember being on Monday Nitro in 1999. We were in Detroit. Tony Schiavone had a can of Surge on his desk. He said, I'm going to drink that Surge, and one day this is going to be a basketball player. Not a good basketball player, but a basketball player.
Sorry, my throat's a little sore. I'm not doing it as good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what's going to go down. Basically, like the Cavs. Right now, are Macho Man Ricky Steamboat, WrestleMania 3, as we sit in the shadows of WrestleMania. Everybody's sleeping on them. Everybody's looking to Hogan and Andre the Giant, you know, the Warriors, and, I mean, the Celtics are out of it, but maybe the Raptors because they're the best team. So you're looking at the top team in the East, top team in the West, regular season, as usual, and these guys, everybody thinks that's the foregone conclusion. But arguably, Macho Man, the best wrestler at that time, and everybody not paying attention to it, even though he's on that card. LeBron James, the Macho Man of the NBA right now, not getting the respect due to him. Then you look back at this NBA playoffs, and it will be the Macho Man of the NBA, LeBron James, and the Cavaliers stealing the show.
This is the second year in a row. Great, great call, Steve. This is the second year in a row people have wanted, they're desirous. Remember when Rush Limbaugh said that the media was desirous of a black quarterback to win? And that wasn't true because Donovan McNabb was actually a good quarterback. But one thing that they are correct, without quoting a famous pill-popping racist, is that the media is desirous of somebody to beat the Cavs. Every year they want somebody to be the team. This is the year. Last year, Bill Simmons, Mr. Boston himself, spent tons of podcasts talking about how the Raptors were going to beat the Cavs. Do you want to know what happened? What happened in the playoffs last year, Tim, when the Raptors played the Cavs?
They got spanked.
They got swept. That's four wins for the Cavs, zero for the Raptors. Hey, remember the year, 2 years before that, when the Hawks were the number one team in the East and the Cavs faced them in the Eastern Conference Finals? What happened to them that year?
Same.
Yeah.
Correct.
They got swept. What happened to the Boston Celtics last year in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Same.
Well, they didn't get swept. Oh, they won one game. But they set a record. They set a record for biggest halftime differential in a conference finals game and in Celtics history. So I'm sorry. I know the Cavs have a horrible defensive rating, and I know that they were terrible, and they've been terrible throughout the year, and they played bad last night, and then they got back in the game. But I want you to know, if you are listening to this right now, say you're a Cavs fan and you're discouraged or despondent about how it's going to go, or say you're somebody who just picked up this podcast because you're like, hey, there's four people on this talking about this from New Orleans. I wonder what this could be about. Maybe it was geotagged for New Orleans and you're a Pelicans fan and you're like, I want to hear what a Cavs fan has to say. Or maybe you're just somebody who clicked on this on accident and somehow made it all the way through 25 minutes. Either way, take your timestamp, mark it down. This is a Chris Klemm guarantee. Put it on the bank. This is not legally binding in any way, so please do not hold me to this. But the Cavs will not lose in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They will not be beat by the Raptors. They will not be beat by the Celtics. They will have a hard time with the 76ers. They will not be beat by the Pacers, the Heat, the Bucks, or whatever that other team is that I can't even remember. Did I get them all?
I think so.
Raptors, Celtics, 76ers, Heat, Pacers, Bucks. Yeah. So they could lose in the finals, and that'd be fine. But you know what? I remember being a kid, a sad kid in Stowe, Ohio, wondering why when the Cavs had Sean Kemp, they had four guys on the all-rookie team the year before in Zydrunas Sokauskas, Derek Anderson, Brevin Knight, and Cedric Henderson. Why they couldn't be better the next year? Why they couldn't have a shot at the finals? Hell, they really pushed the Pacers in the first round of 1998. They had a great series. Then the lockout happened. Sean Kemp got fat, and said Hen turned into a pumpkin. And it turns out it's really hard to be good in the NBA when you're a 5'10 point guard who can't shoot, despite how good you are at passing. Derek Anderson got a No Limit Soldiers tattoo and started being in Masterpiece rap videos. And Zydrunas Ilgauskas spent the next 5 years breaking his foot over and over again. He did have a happy ending. He was a two-time All-Star. His jersey was retired. Me, Matt, and Tim went to the retirement ceremony. He's still my all-time favorite Cav. But that team fell apart to the point where Lamon Murray ended up being our best player a season later and was an asshole to me at Giant Eagle in Stowe, Ohio, and an autograph appearance when I was literally the only person there, and he still refused to spend longer than the minimum required time to ask me my name and to sign a paper for him. I was playing JV basketball at the time at Archbishop Hoban, and I told him that he was my favorite player, which was true because I was trying to become a bigger guy who shot threes all the time, and I loved Lamon Murray. But you know what? After that day, I stopped loving Lamon Murray, and I had bad feelings about him. And that's what I want you to know. You will not have bad feelings about this Cavs team, because back then I dreamed that they could make it to the finals. And then in 2007 they did, and they got swept. And I was like, man, and one day if they were just good enough that every year I knew they would be really good, I would be so happy, even if they didn't win a championship. And that happened. And then they did win a championship, and then they went to the finals again. So I will not be upset if they go to the finals. I will not be upset if they don't win at all, because I will be happy knowing the Cavs are relevant, and I will always appreciate this. So basically what I'm trying to say is I appreciate them, and I don't care how it ends up. Steve, it seems like you have something to say.
No, I don't. That was wonderful. That was like very Bill Pullman Independence Day right there.
We will not go down without a fight.
We will not go quietly into the night.
Today is the day we shake off the shackles of Lamon Murray's 35% three-point shooting and the fact that no one in Stowe, Ohio would come to Giant Eagle to get an autograph from him except the sad, lonely 15-year-old boy that he promptly ignored. Yes, this is what we will say today. Fuck Lamon Murray.
Never forget.
Never forget. And I seriously was mad because
no, really?
The week before he had an awesome dunk over Dikembe Mutombo. And I was like, told my buddy Kurtz, I was like, he's going to be at the Giant Eagle in Stowe. I'm going to go meet him. And he's like, oh, you should tell him that you thought that dunk was awesome. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to. And I was like, oh, man, Mr. Murray, you're awesome. You're my favorite player on the Cavs. And he's like, thanks. And I was like, that dunk you had over Dikembe Mutombo was so sick. And he's like, yep. And he like passed his paper to me and ignored me. And talk to the person that was there with the Cavs, like as his representative. Though. Yeah. He was still better than Tracy Murray, his cousin.
He had like a Three Musketeers goatee.
Yeah.
It's
great.
And it just shows if you trade for a player, I'll wrap it up on this, and then we'll say our final words and go, because we got outfits to get into and a nightlife to hit. Don't trade for anybody from the Clippers. The best case scenario is you'll end up getting an unprotected draft pick, and it will turn into Kyrie Irving, and he will help you win a championship before breaking your heart. And the worst case scenario is you'll get Lamon Murray. So that's why I'm glad the Cavs didn't trade for DeAndre Jordan, and I'm happy with Larry Nance Jr. All right, folks, plugs, final thoughts, parting words. Matt.
You know, thanks for having me on again.
It's a pleasure as always. If this one can get into six-digit listens.
With us on it, oh, yeah.
Can we get up to like 25,000 for this? Watch, it'll be 13.
Yeah. But no, thanks for having me on. Again, you can listen to Flicks That Kick. Flicks That Kick app is all, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, the whole, wherever podcasts are. So yeah, check us out. If you love action movies, martial arts movies, definitely check us out. And, you know, go Cavs. And you know, you brought up some great points. Bottom line is we're watching the best player in the prime of his career, right? Arguably, he's having his best season.
Yeah. Offense, like, the only way you could say he's not the best he's ever been is because he literally doesn't play defense most of the time.
Yeah.
But offensively, he's never been this good.
So we're watching the best player, our favorite team. And, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime type situation. So let's just fucking enjoy, you know, let's enjoy the experience of the Cavs.
If you had a new NBA Jam game, the Cavs still would probably be, like, most people's first pick, or at least second at worst. You can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, so let's just enjoy it. No matter how they do, and I think they're going to do really well. No matter how they do, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time.
Thanks, Hillbilly Jim. Don't go messing with a country boy, country boy, country boy. Don't go messing with a country boy. This is what will happen to you. All right, who's next?
I'll go.
All right.
So you can follow me at Tim Oster. TimOster for any Tesla related news or Elon Musk related news. A little off topic, but anyway, I like everything everyone said. I just want to remind everyone too, the Cavs, when they won the championship, were not expected to win. They were huge underdogs in the finals. They went from down 0-3
to 3-1.
3-1.
Oh, 3-1.
They're 0-2, they won one, lost the fourth. That's when I became despondent. I remember being at the queue outside at the watch party with my dad and Chad Weaver, and they blew it because they had a really good chance to win that game four. And I remember, even though I had a Swenson's Big Three burger and a Swenson's All-In burger from their food truck, and I was very excited about that, it couldn't wash away the pain of that loss.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as that's kind of depressing. But in any event, they did come back and they won against a team that nobody thought they would win against. They had the best record ever the regular season,
73-9.
And I think the media is very biased, like you said. They like the big markets, regardless of how shitty the big markets are. Like
they like rooting against LeBron, which is weird.
Yeah, like. Like the Celtics seem to always be overrated.
Well, they have a website devoted to bigging them up called theringer.com. So I guess that makes sense. Oh, shit. Actually, true story. I used to be a huge Bill Simmons fan, and somewhere around last year's MLB playoffs, when he talked about how there was no team in the East that could legitimately beat Boston to go to the World Series, I stopped listening because Boston lost in the first round. But anyways.
I think... I like that they added a bunch of young players too. That's going to help them as far as longevity.
Rodney Hood could. I mean, he had like a negative 28 last night, but he has looked pretty good overall.
Yeah,
we didn't mention him. I know we talked about Larry Nance Jr. Jordan Clarkson. He's kind of like a high usage scorer off the bench, which is a good role for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. And the Cavs just beat the Raptors. The Cavs just beat the
Raptors. Well, they beat them in a squeaker that they kind of came from behind for, and then they beat them this week from beginning to end, just spanked them. The score was within like 10 because the subs blew it. But
yeah, and that's without any playoff implications. So it was like, I mean, it's a good, good way to see where they're at. I mean, as far as meshing. I mean, they haven't even been together a year. You know, that's another thing. They're meshing fairly well for you know, the amount of time they've played together. So, yeah, I'm positive on them. I think they're going to do well, but that's all I got.
And please follow Tim because he does – you want to know about Doug Oster, me, or Tesla, follow Tim's Twitter feed because he pimps all three of us out, and I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Chris Quinn, CJ.
You can call me CJ. If there anybody's listening still, I think it's been a pretty good episode. But my friends and my family call me CJ, so if you haven't heard that before, people have called me that on the show. That's what I'm known as. But it's not CJ Klemskavskas, it's Chris Klemskavskas. But you know, maybe I'm going to change my name. I don't know. I went to an acting workshop last week, and the guy who ran it was like, there was a woman named Jen Poor, and she hated her name, and she couldn't book any commercials. And then she said, I hate my name. And I said, well, why don't you change your name to something you want to be? And she said, okay. And she changed her name to Jen Rich. And the next day she booked a commercial. And then she legally changed her name to Jen Rich, and her life's great. So if you want to change your name, change your name. I'm like, maybe I'll go by CJ again. But true story, this kid when I was young used to make fun of me because that was Pamela Anderson's name on Baywatch. He also stole some of my Marvel trading cards, so I'm not upset about that. I'm over it. Fuck that kid.
He's probably hanging out with Lamont Murray somewhere.
You probably are. It's probably them two and that guy who said he was in the Avengers all kicking it together.
I don't really feel like plugging anything. It's fine.
Okay.
We get you all the listens here. It's funny. Like people listen to the podcast that Matt and I guest on, but then like don't listen to ours or something.
But no, like, to be fair, you didn't have a podcast.
That's
then.
True. I didn't.
And most of those were from before your podcast. I mean, that episode's 2 years old now.
Yeah. All right. So
it got like 11,000 2 years ago.
I don't talk about sports, but you can listen to my podcast. It's called Wingcast, Wingman Podcast.
Matt's podcast was barely around at that point.
That's true. That's true. So maybe this will help us then.
Maybe people go out and buy Teslas.
Yeah, maybe. I talk about like dating and stuff like that. It's fun.
Tim, if you had a, you can chime
you
in.
Can
stuff.
Chime in, Tim.
I was just gonna say, go Tesla and go Cavs.
Model 3. I think that I have two things that maybe have broken this championship curse. As I was thinking about this while everybody else was talking, A, this is the first time Matt and I have been back on since they've won, and through my wrestling metaphor last time and his thing, we both anticipated a victory in our own ways, and they actually came true.
Correct.
Because
yeah,
last
that's
time
true.
My metaphor was about how the Cavs were Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant was the Golden State Warriors, and the Cavs did the unexpected and body slammed Andre the Giant to win. So it all goes back to WrestleMania 3, obviously.
But the Golden State Warriors did not die immediately after.
They did not.
Like
they
Hulk Hogan has claimed at times.
They did not. The other thing that happened, I think, that will break the curse here is you remember you came over to my house. You stayed there the night before the championship parade.
Yes.
Your brother Danny bought a case of Budweiser.
Yeah.
I can't drink beer. Due to health reasons, and it sat in my refrigerator since that day.
Okay.
About 2 months ago, there were people over after a wrestling show, and someone was like, do you have any beer? I go, well, I've got a case of beer. It's pretty old, but it's all I got. And he goes, oh, fuck it, I'm wasted. I'll drink it. Drink the 12 Budweiser that were in there. So it's gone. So the whole holdover from the last championship, this is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a holdover from the last championship.
Yeah.
It's like we were holding on to it and clinging to it. It's gone. Cleaned. Cleansed. So I think that's it. That's the curse. Broken.
This beer's from the last championship. Can you believe that, baby?
He was very excited to drink it. Actually, it was Joey Janela, I'll say
it
that.
It was Joey Janela, cheap plug.
Yeah.
I know you're not listening, but for the guy walking around at Bourbon Street during Joey Janela's show last night, wearing a Joey Janela shirt, be a better fan. Like, because if I was having a show and somebody was wearing a Clemiger shirt and they were not at that show, I would be very upset. I mean, that's in the same city and stuff.
Yeah. So, that being said, go Cavs. Thanks for having me on. I had a great time. As you
there's know. There's literally nobody else, no three other people I'd rather do a podcast with. This is a dream team. Sorry, Kirk Robinson, you don't know anything about basketball, so you're not invited.
Oh, is that where they score a home run in there? And they put it in the thing, in the sports ball? They get a home run when they put it in the round thing?
Listen to this guy. He's ate up with it.
Yep.
What is a schlong?
They put the ball through the uprights there, and they get a home run. Is that how that works?
All right. If you're still listening, the next 5 minutes is going to be us referencing the Pretty Swell Guys. So click off now if you don't want to hear it. This guy, Tim, before we wrap up, your thoughts on the nickname Silent Tim. You do hate it. You need to publicly state for the record you hated it.
I'm not a big fan. I mean, if I have something to say, I'll say it. So all right. If I was silent, I would, I wouldn't be talking right now.
Yeah, exactly. You're polite. You didn't want to interrupt the show.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, did you see last night's SNL? You know you didn't, so why are you going to talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I have something that I think is of value, I'll add it. Otherwise, I keep my mouth shut. I don't speak unless I'm spoken to. That's how I was raised.
There you go. So I think we can wrap this up. We'll go get some chicken wings and get drunk on bubblegum vodka.
Well, thank you. If you're still listening to this, I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And I know I've been saying this on a serious note. I know the last month that my downloads have fallen off a cliff because I've put out like one episode. And I know for a fact, based on correspondence I've had in person at the shows when I was in town at the Roxino a couple weeks ago and over the internet, that people ask me, why aren't you doing your podcast? I enjoyed your podcast and I listened, but I think you quit. And are you doing it anymore? Yes. I was actually going to stop doing the podcast, believe it or not. And I decided that I'm going to keep doing it. It's been hard for me to find time, but I'm going to try to make time and make it a priority again. So if you're listening, thank you. I appreciate it. On a serious note, I really do. Tell your friends, and let's get enough listeners so I can actually get a check from the monetization company because I've broken the limit that they need to write the check. All right? I'll talk to you guys later. That's it. I don't know.
Shouts out to Sean Ass, greatest intro man in the game.
Yeah. And listen, on the last episode, it was not it was a wrestling thing that I did with my buddy Justin Summers and Steve because I'm in Orlando or New Orleans going to WrestleMania tomorrow. Sean Ass did a great intro. I really appreciate it. It was very Marc Maron-esque. And, you know, never know, tomorrow when we're hanging out, we might record another episode just to talk about whatever. Probably more Cavs talk, but I think we pretty much covered everything except for whether or not Ty Lue is a good or bad coach. I'm going with good because I'm a big Jason Lloyd mark, and he is constantly defending him. Besides that, playoffs start next week. It'll be like last year. I'll try to have an episode for every single playoff game because there could be as few as four and there could be as many as 16 plus three in each round. So 28. All right, guys, that's it for me. Talk to you guys later. I'll let you do the sign out today, Tim. I usually say good go Cavs or have a good night, everybody. But I think you said you said it earlier and I said we're going to end with it.
Live long and prosper.
Not that one.
Oh. Go Cavs.
Well, yeah, I was saying it with some energy.
Go Cavs!
Yeah! Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening. Yeah.
has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
I feel good.